Hello and welcome to Talkin' Wrestling with Pondwater Dave. My name is Justin Davis, and as always, we're joined by the First Lady of the Arn Anderson Fan Club, Miss Amy Vaughn, and the man who counted Ric Flair's last match, Mr. Pondwater Dave himself. What's going on, guys? Dave, who do we have with us this week?
Oh, tonight we're super excited. We have a man on tonight that I've had the pleasure of being in the ring with for over 18 years. He's a two-time NWA North American Championship champion. If I tried to list off all of his accomplishments, we'd be out of time for the night. On October 21st, 2016, he reached the pinnacle in our sport, became NWA World Heavyweight Champion. You can catch him on NWA Power, cracking heads and doing commentary. Please welcome to the show tonight, Mr. Tim Storm.
Yay!
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me. It's a honor and a pleasure to get to talk to you.
It's an honor to have you on here.
We're all on the same team. We're all trying to get the same, get to the same place. So, thank you guys for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Tim. I want to start off with you. I guess I'm going to put the cart in front of the horse. We've had some exciting news come out about the NWA, and sounds like to me you're fixing to be a network commentator.
I will be as surprised as ever. I don't have a lot of details. I never do. It's kind of like, and Dave, like you said, we've known each other a long time. I kind of show up if I'm scheduled to wrestle, I show up and I don't ask a lot of questions until I get there. We've heard for a while that the potential was there. But, Billy's really kind of close to the vest on a lot of this stuff, as he should be. From the very beginning, he's been, he wants to always keep kind of, I don't want to say set low expectations, but keep the expectations low so that you can exceed whatever it is you actually come up with. So, we'll see. I'm excited. I don't know how or if my role will change. I don't think it will, but, I roll with punches and call it in the ring when we get there, I guess.
Well, I'm incredibly biased, but you're tremendous behind the mic.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm glad to see you get to do that, but I'm still glad that they still put you in the ring too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much ring time I'll get, and I don't. I'm hesitant to go into a lot of detail, but
I understand.
It's okay. It's just, the last. I really went almost a year without a televised match because I was doing commentary.
Right.
And it's been, I appreciate you saying I'm good at it. I guess it just comes from, you guys know I'm a school teacher, so I'm used to talking and I've wrestled for almost 30 years. So put those two together and I'm comfortable and I'm fairly knowledgeable. And when they put me in there, I had no idea. How it was going to go. I'm very fortunate to get to work with good people. And Joe Galley is so amazing and such a professional that I guess weekend before last, I officiated his wedding. And, I was telling everybody that, he steers the ship and he makes it really easy. As far as wrestling, we'll see. On the last pay-per-view I had, I don't know how to phrase it, an alarming potential injury that was bad enough that they, we were live and cut the camera away. And I went about my, I hate that it happened. It's not the way I planned it.
That's scary.
Well, I had a rematch against Jax Dane, who I beat for the world title a long time ago. And, wrestling, my line was wrestling is not ballet. You never know what's going to happen. And I don't know. I'm good. I wrestle every weekend. I wonder if they're hesitant about putting somebody almost 60 years old that was basically laid in the middle of the ring and couldn't move for a couple of 5 or 6 minutes. I don't know if I'll get another opportunity. If I do, I hope I do. But I also wouldn't be surprised if I don't. So,
well,
okay, commentary is it doesn't hurt.
Well, I tell everybody that as a referee, I get to be out there three to six times a night. So as commentator, yeah. You're out there the whole night. So
oh man, it's like I said, it's, you know, commentary is way less painful than wrestling. I'm not gonna say it's a front row seat to some of the best wrestling in the world, in my opinion. But it's I'd always rather be in the ring. So even now.
I have a couple questions just from the little bit that you've already told us. I did not know you were a school teacher. What do you teach?
I'm in my 15th year. I taught 5 years of science. I teach eighth graders, and I'm in my 10th year of teaching U.S. history. So,
you know what? Middle school needs a teacher like you. I could tell. Like that. That needs to be. I bet they're very good in your class.
They are. Actually,
I bet so.
I think that my strength as a teacher is, I mean, I'm a good communicator, but my classroom management is pretty good. So, they know. I don't talk about it much, but you know, with them, because I want to keep them focused on what they're doing. I haven't said this publicly, but I'm pretty sure that this. I think I'm just about done with teaching. So I think I don't know what that means. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. But I, you know, I'm pretty sure this would be my last year teaching. We'll just see how it goes.
I got 22 years left, Tim. Save me.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, he's got this look that he gets in his eyes, and if he ever has to give his kids that look in the class, they've had a bad day.
I don't think my kids are nearly as intimidated by me as Tim's kids are in his classroom.
Right. Do you like walk in with the belt and be like, no. Do you see this?
I tell people, yeah, that's it right there. That's pretty close. I tell people all the time I work heel as a teacher. So it's it seems to be more effective.
I think you may have already said it, but you were talking about being a commentator and you said that you get to watch some of the greatest, you know, wrestling matches. You're like front row for that. Yeah. Is that your favorite part of being a commentator?
Yeah, absolutely. I love professional wrestling. I have a passion for it. I always have. I don't think anything will ever replace the feeling of being in the ring. I just don't think that's possible. I'm very deliberate on my social media posts. Every time I have an opportunity, I always say, you know, I'm blessed to still have an opportunity to be able to do what I love to do. And I'm very, very aware, especially after the injury it was just a stinger. And I knew what it was at the time. So I wasn't that terrified, but, you know, I know every match potentially could be my last match. And Dave knows I've been saying this for almost 15 years, but I can't have a ton of time left. You know, I
mean, yeah, he said it and then he became the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I stopped wrestling at 40, because I wanted to kind of dedicate myself to the job I had at the time. And, was saying then, I don't know how many matches I have left. So, you know, almost 20 years later, I'm still going. So, well, you know, we'll see. I wrestled this last weekend. Got to be around some of my favorite people. James Beard is my travel partner a lot. I tagged with the same guy, APOC, for 20 years. Rodney and Jazz, you know, help. We all kind of agent matches and help, not really book the show, but help put, you know, produce things. And it just to be around all those people, it's just so much fun. So, but nothing replaces the ring. It just doesn't. And I don't think it ever will.
I bet. Can you? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Amy.
No, I was just going to say, you talked about being in the ring and that's kind of like your first love. What brought you to the ring? What did you see it when you were younger? Did you get to go to shows?
Yes. Yeah, exactly what you said. I mean, I grew up in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And as far as wrestling, it was kind of the center because we were centrally located to a lot of different things. And I grew up watching, you know, Memphis wrestling in the morning.
I'm there too. I'm in Kentucky. So obviously we're a few year difference, but I was definitely watching Memphis wrestling on Saturdays.
I got Georgia Championship Wrestling in the afternoon. You know, so now on the or the mornings, I've got Lawler, Austin, Austin Idol. I've got, Kamala and Honky Tonk Man and all these guys coming up through there. And then the afternoon, I've got the Four Horsemen. I know that's what I'm saying. I've got Animal and Hawk, and I've got, Lex Luger in my, Mr. Wrestling 2. I was a big, big fan. And then at night, I got World Class. So I got the Von Erichs and, the Freebirds. And it's just, I grew up watching it. Pine Bluff Convention Center, Mid-South, came through about twice a year. And, I definitely won't say, we were poor and I didn't know it. That's how good a job my mom did. But I'm not going to say I went to every one of them, but I've told this story, but it's absolutely the truth. I can remember the moment, and it's if I go back, when I say it, people are going to go, well, yeah, but it was, the show was good. There was some of it. Looking back, I realized how much fun it had to be for those guys. But they had a battle of the Hacksaws. So they had Hacksaw Butch Reed and Duggan in a coal miner's glove on a pole match. And looking back, I realized that really what they were laughing about was they were pulling each other's trunks down the whole time. But they were having a blast. The whole card was great. Iron Mike Sharp, but the main event that night was Andre the Giant against Ken Patera. Mm. And old school wrestling, you had what they called a kettle light, which is one light hanging from the ceiling, on one light on the ring. So the ring is lit and everything else is dark. Mm-hmm. And Andre picked up Patera for what was the finish. And when he picked him up for the body slam, his feet hit that light. And I was just literally just, oh my gosh, he's a, and the light swinging I was like, I could hear angels singing. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever, and I snuck into the ring afterwards after everybody kind of left and stood on the second rope and held up my hand. I was like, yeah, I want to do this someday. Now, I didn't start till I was 32. So, probably 20 years later is when I actually started. But
really? Why the delay?
Life, wife, two kids, house payment, car payments. I did a little bit of everything. I sold pharmaceuticals for a while. I was a pharmaceutical rep. I ran a couple of businesses. And I was just looking for a new challenge. And I went, hey, what I think I want to do? So turned out pretty well, I guess.
Who trained you, Tim?
I trained with Bill Ash. A lot of guys won't know that name. But if you go back and look, Bill was, he was a, what they call it, a light heavyweight at the time. Or they didn't call it cruiserweight.
Yeah, they were light heavyweights.
And he held basically every title for every organization, except he never worked for WWE. Mm-hmm. He was a Mid-South guy. He was a, the other day somebody sent me, I've become really good friends with Austin Idol, and he posted something on his social media, and what he was showing was that it was, Austin Idol against Ric Flair in the main event, and then the semi-main event, he didn't think about it. It was Bill Ash against somebody, and Bill was the NWA whatever champion at the time. And, I met him when he was old, which is hilarious because I'm way older than that now. And he was a little short, pot-bellied, balding guy with glasses, old school as you can get, as far as training, and gave me a really, really solid psychology base. Everything he did was real. It was like, okay, we did every workout, what he called let's roll. And it was basically just mat wrestling and seeing who could either tap the other guy out or wear him out or whatever. And it was, he would say, here's how you break somebody's arm. Here's how you can do it without breaking their arm. So everything was as real as he could make it. And, and then I moved to Dallas after, 6 years maybe. and got the opposite training, which worked out great. The guy that I trained with then, and I was actually there to help train, and I was the one learning, but it was, he was more of a small, he was a loot kind of a, he watched a lot of Lucha, a lot of Japan. So there was no psychology, but now I got to learn, you know, how to base, how to post. I mean, things that I didn't get with Bill. So it worked out good.
Did he have a school, or was he just one-on-one training with you?
He had a school, and again, hilarious when I say that, looking back. it was in Paris, Arkansas, which is literally in nowhere. I mean, it's just very, very, the population can't be 400 or 500. He rented I drove by there last year on the way to a wedding because I knew I was, it was in Paris and I couldn't quite find it. I think it's an electronics pawn shop now. So it's a storefront with glass in the front. Mm-hmm. The ceiling was so low that you couldn't, if I climbed up to the second rope, I would hit my head on the ceiling.
Oh gosh.
Which explains, Dave, why I don't go to past the second rope. I could take, when I was trying to learn to bump, I was not a natural at anything. But in trying to force myself to actually jump on a regular bump, I could kick the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, it was not a great school, but it was not a great location. Some good guys came through there and I learned a ton.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you came to Dallas and went with, that was at PCW?
Yeah. I came to Dallas and really, that was my, at 40, you know, I said, okay, it's time to concentrate. I got hired as a vice president of a company and because I didn't want to leave Arkansas. Arkansas was home and it took a lot of money to get me to leave. That's just the bottom line. And they kept offering more money and more money. I thought, okay, I got to dedicate myself to this job. And was only had the job for about 8 months and they released all the upper management. Was fine.
Oh.
Now I've moved to Dallas. I had just sold my house in Arkansas after what, 7 or 8 months.
Oh, you
know, no. I've got two kids. I've got my wife, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, but I had somebody at the church I was going to said, hey, have you ever heard of these guys? It was a group called the Christian Wrestling Federation. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe I can help. And started training with them. I was a trainer, but that's where I'll say I started training with them. And then I got through that. I got involved with PCW. Rodney and I were laughing about that this weekend. And that was it was incredible. PCW is a great place to work, great place to learn. The talent was, you never know this stuff until later on. You know, you look back and you go, man, every guy in the locker room, you know, was top notch. And I wrestled some great guys, got to learn a ton, got good opportunities, you know, so it was perfect.
And that Christian Wrestling Federation is still running today.
Absolutely. Yep. I don't get to very often. But when I can, I still go out there and, you know, and just to hang out with the guys and see everybody. So I think I'm going to get this wrong, but I think we just celebrated 22 or 23 years. So they're still going strong.
Awesome. Now, what does PCW stand for? Just so.
Professional Championship Wrestling.
Professional, and that is out of Dallas.
It was in Arlington.
Oh. Yeah,
it was in Arlington. Okay.
Yeah, they ran. They pivoted to MMA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, and the setup there was incredible too.
Oh, that old movie theater was the best.
Oh,
yeah. And if you could picture, you know, I mean, the theater kind of, you know, seats rising up, you know, on two sides. Floor seats were ringside, and then you came down a ramp, and they would sell the seats next to that were like couches and recliners.
The rowdy crowd, the rowdy section.
Rowdy section.
Oh.
and they had and they just took a hammer and knocked a hole in the brick wall.
Yep.
So you came through a hole in the brick wall out of the back, which was a gym that had a boxing ring back there. It was they trained boxers.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Oh, it was. And, I mean, the production value at the time, I mean, again, you don't know that, but you go back and look and you go, that looks really good. You know, I mean, they did a great job.
It was a great venue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still to this day is probably one of my favorite venues I've ever been in.
I agree. And it's, You know, it's, I would, when they shut it down, I remember for the next 2 or 3 years, I traveled a lot. I still do travel a lot to wrestle, and I could look around the locker room, and every locker room, the top guys that were in there, no matter where I was at, were PCW guys. I mean, it was, we had guys like, I was part of a faction with Lance Hoyt, Lance Archer, which is, still going pretty strong, big in Japan, AEW contract. I mean, if you go through the list, there's been a lot of successful people that were there at the time, up and comers, and I got to learn from all of them.
Oops. And they, at one point, they actually did a reality show. Did you get to be on any of the reality show? The Bussy Bunch?
Kind of. Yes. But, I think that reality show, it didn't last very long. So
2 episodes in the United States, but the whole run went in Germany.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The whole run went in Germany, and I have never seen more than the first 2 episodes.
Yeah.
What's the whole run? Like a whole, how many episodes?
8 or 10.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was the concept was really, really good. The idea was the original concept was we'll pick a wrestler or a couple of wrestlers for the show and kind of feature them for the week. What do they do? What do they do behind the scenes? Do they have another job? Do they have a family? And then they would take that through. The idea was they take that through the whole week to a match that you were having to show. Okay. And I don't know why, but Lance and I and a couple others were invited up to meet with whoever was the network that was killing it with reality shows. I mean, they were doing it. I'm drawing a blank, but it was
like E! News, E! No, it was, what was it called?
Oh man.
I can't remember. It was, I'm drawing a blank, but it was a weird meeting because it started with, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so, here's my name, I'm the new decision maker for what we're putting on TV, and it's not going to be this concept. So I'm here to tell you, if you're interested, this is the concept. And then they took it and they made it. It was also interesting. It just wasn't about the wrestling as much, but they called it the Bussy Bunch, and they modeled it like, because Mike and Cheryl Bussy were the owners who both had, I guess, 3 kids, and it looked just like the Brady Bunch. And that's how they marketed it. And they had 3 episodes or whatever that they showed, 2 episodes. That really featured the family more than the wrestling.
I got a quick question, Tim. Yes, when you started into the wrestling business, did you have to, because you're a pretty jacked dude, did you have to work out to get kind of in wrestling shape, or were you always just kind of in pretty good shape? You've always kept yourself pretty good.
No, it was, I'll tell you that wrestling cardio and wrestling shape is, you cannot duplicate it. There's nothing like it in the world that I've found. I trained for about 6 months and I really thought, man, I've got this, I'm ready. Now at the time, and Dave saw me, what I looked like at PCW,
wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah, I'm completely different person.
Handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
It was a Fu Manchu. I had an older brother that had the masterful handlebar mustache that came out. I had long hair. Everybody said, and now in retrospect, that the way I wore it looks like a mullet, which I find slightly offensive. But that wasn't the design. But I was also about, 300 pounds.
Really?
I was a defensive lineman in college, kind of more like a defensive end. And, completely different. And I got to a point, still, I'm laughing now because I was probably 43, 44. And I remember thinking, I either need to get in shape or I need to get out of the business. Because my knees were killing me. My back always hurt. I couldn't move well in the ring. So I had convinced myself that low carb didn't work anymore for me. And that's the only thing that ever worked. Truthfully, what had happened was I just wasn't really dieting because I like to eat, So I remember the very first match I had, Bill let us go work he rented the ring to a church actually. And we had a tag match, which looking back couldn't have been, I mean, it's a tag match. I couldn't have done much, but I remember like the finish was kind of I was fighting on the outside. Somebody hit me in my first match, but hit me with a chair, and I'm literally like selling and I'm crawling toward the back, but I'm really crawling. And I got to the back and I said, I don't understand. I have never been this tired before in my life. How did nobody tell me how difficult this was going to be? And I mean, you can't, the only thing I've found that's close is running like stadium stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that's even come close to it.
It's a different kind of cardio. I used to grab the trash can and pull it over to the corner to the be close before every practice.
Yep.
I knew it was going to happen.
Well, and people watch and they go, how can it be that? But it is, it's accelerate, explosive, work really hard. But even like going down on the mat and taking somebody down or being taken down, they're laying on you, their body. It's there's nothing like it. And we were talking about it this last weekend. I mean, I had a little 8-minute fun match, but I had also, because of the injury, I've had to like slowly kind of work my way back in. And I was worried. You guys know this, but I haven't blown up as far as like, you know, that terminology in 15 years because I take it serious. I take my cardio very seriously. I was a little worried this weekend. You know, if I had gone out there and had to go against Rodney for 15 minutes, I would have been the guy with the trash can probably. You know, I have a lot of pride, but back to your question. I just had to kind of dedicate myself. This sounds so cliche-ish, but it's a lifestyle change. You know, I mean, I go to the gym every day. I do cardio every day. I try to eat right. But I'll be 60 in February. And what happens is you end up with the injuries. It's more pain management than anything, you know. Mm-hmm. So what's hurting? How do I go to the gym and work around that? Because you have to do it if you're going to, you know, my joke is I have to look like a wrestler because I can't do what I used to do in the ring. Right. So I tell all people all the time, I get paid from the curtain to the ring. I have to look like I'm a real professional wrestler and former champion, because I can still do stuff. I can still go, but nothing like I could even 5 years ago.
He's chiseled. He's tanned.
I'm tan.
I mean, tan. He's what I would look like if I would exercise and eat less.
You are so right. So right, Dave.
Oh, there's my boys.
And when you get in the ring with him and APOC, especially 18 years ago, with Tim weighing 300 and APOC weighing 300, it was intimidating being in there with those guys.
Oh my, I bet.
That's APOC. That's Bam Bam in the blue. But APOC and I have tagged now for over 20 years off and on. And this was in, Dave, this was, you were at this show, right?
Yeah, this was.
This was BIW, Bayou Independent.
I was going to say, is that Bam Bam Malone?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in Vicksburg.
I was at Vicksburg, not at your match, but I've been to Vicksburg for a BIW match.
Well, and this was a 6-man tag. And on the other side was Angel Camacho. And I mean, there had to have been 1,000 pounds on the other side. There you go. There's Angel. Yeah. I'm
legitimate 460.
Yeah. I'm surprised the ring held up with the six of us in there. It was, big boy.
APOC and Camacho got up on the top rope and teased a superplex just to screw with Josh about breaking his ring.
because they hit the superplex a couple of years ago and broke the ring. Yeah, so there was some meat in that match for sure.
I can imagine.
Jeremiah's lost a lot of weight, but yeah. He used to be a pretty big boy too.
Yeah. But I wore I think I wore those trunks right there because, you know, we're in, you know, what are we? October is, what is it? Is it breast cancer awareness?
Yeah, breast cancer.
Yeah, I've got the little breast cancer. Okay. I think I wore those this weekend and went, yeah, I've got my diet. I've really got to clean up that diet thing. It's not where it was even 4 months ago. So, you know.
I was going to say, did you know, speaking of Mr. Angel, Pondwater Dave is going to get chopped by Angel. Yes.
He's just like, did you lose a bet?
Well,
here's
the deal. We were going to do the one chip challenge if we got to 200 subscribers.
Okay.
And then that kid passed away doing the one chip challenge. So it'd be really disrespectful to his family to have pursued that.
Okay.
So the next best thing to eating an entirely too hot pepper is getting Angel to chop me for 200.
It's a one chop. It's a one chop.
One-chop challenge. That's right.
Yeah. And honestly, people loved me and Justin. And so they didn't want us to have injury. But when we suggested Dave get injured, everybody just like, we got it just like that.
I love how you say, people love Justin and I.
It's a one-chop challenge. But Camacho, if you want to slip in too, you can go ahead and do that.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. I bet Dave comes down in half.
You don't want that. I've been there. You don't want that. That's no fun.
I watched Tim chop Professor, and I saw the man's soul leave his body.
It's like one of those cartoons, like the Looney Tunes. You know, they do that. Oh, it was funny.
When somebody brings that up to a professional wrestler, anybody, you know, it's almost like you've got to prove how bad it actually hurts. Cause everybody's like, oh, you're just slapping their chest. That doesn't hurt. Yeah, it does. It's, you know,
a lot.
Yeah. It hurts a lot.
And, yeah.
You know, so it's, I will, if I need to get fired up in the ring, that's what chop me, because it'll make me mad. You know? And then I will respond very quickly. to that, so.
I've noticed that back chops have become a thing lately. And I'm like, I thought that was no, we don't do that.
That's how I feel. Seriously, I was watching a match and saw one this weekend, and I was the guy, but you know, I don't want to say kid, but the guy was wrestling, young guy, kind of just coming up, really excited, not a big guy, and we were watching the match, and that happened, and I went, oh no, that's not cool at all. Like you said, I've always thought of that as being disrespectful, you know. But apparently it's a thing now, you know, and
I don't ever want to be chopped on my back. I really don't ever want to be chopped on my front.
Well, that's, you know, that no longer a choice, Dave. 200, what's your number? You got your number.
And you might have been there for it. There was one night at PCW during training that they decided everybody had to go around the ring and take chops from one corner to the other. One in the corner, one in the middle, one in the corner, come all the way around. And I know I started with BJ Turner, and Mike Fox was in there. And Luke, I think his name was Luke Bronson.
Yep, I remember Luke Bronson.
And he would do the two-handed down, and he was a good foot taller than me. So he really came down a lot to get to me.
Right. That's kind of a rite of passage for most. I mean, when you're training, there's usually what they call chop night. And depending on how much you're liked or disliked, as a trainee, I've seen one person quit. I mean, quit wrestling.
Mm.
Because his chest was bleeding and there was no letting up. And well, but if that's the weird thing, if, you know, like if somebody gets you right, it can only take one. And I mean, that's, I use what's called a shooter's chop, you know, so it's over the top. It's one hand and it sounds like a shotgun going off and it hurts. And that's what I tell guys. You can chop me, but just know when it comes back around, because it's like a back chop. I've only had a few guys do that. I'm not going to name any names because I'm still holding
grudge. They're not alive anymore.
Oh, well, still hold a grudge, that's for sure. But, chop me in the back, that's fine. But just know, we're not getting out of the ring before I get mine back. You know, just know, it's going to happen. Yeah, there's nothing. And it's almost, if you're a professional, you expect it.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you take that shot, if somebody doesn't give it back, then you lose respect too. So,
Tim, let me ask you about in 2011, they had a tournament, and I can't pronounce the German word, but it basically crowned an indie world champion. Mm-hmm. And you defeated Kagus. And you became the indie world champion. What was all that? I mean, I remember it was an incredible looking belt too.
Who chopped me in the back? by the way.
Did he? the monster, the Tokyo Monster, Kagus.
Can I stand up for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
See if I can do this without everything falling.
Oh, he's got it.
I want it.
Does he have his NWA belt?
We'll get there.
I know. I want to see.
All right.
But look at this. This is impressive.
Ringen Meisterschaft. Indie World Champion. That's the word. Ringer Meisterschaft. So I think it was literally a German word for wrestling. But yeah, it's beautiful. It was legitimately the independent world championship at the time. That's what they were trying to make, trying to go for. Johnny Mantell put on the tournament, and it was an incredibly unique, incredibly unique concept that nobody's ever done, as far as I know. It was, they brought in judges, and for me as an old school wrestler, some of the biggest names that influenced my childhood, Harley Race, Jake Roberts, Buck Robley, Iceman King Parsons. The list was just went on forever of guys, and they would assign. They had one ring. It was at German Fest, German Belt. That's what the name is. And you basically started at 10 in the morning, and we went until almost midnight the first night. And it was at some points, because there were no seating, it was a beautiful day. And at some point there were thousands around the ring. And at some point there was 60. It was a constant people walking and stopping. Here's the concept.
Was it down going towards by Waco, down like in West where the German community is, or?
It's the other way. Oh. And I'll think of the name of it here in a little bit, it's like you're going toward Oklahoma from Dallas north, and gotcha. You take a left and go out, and they have the German Fest, and there's a big German community there also. My cousin actually taught there, and I should be able to remember the name, and I can't. But picture the NCAA March Madness bracket. Okay, so the original idea was they wanted 300 of the top independent wrestlers in the world. They didn't get anywhere near that. They got 100 and something.
It's a lot, though.
It was a lot. And there was some good, but there was a lot of really talented people there. But you had your first match, and there were four categories, four judges. They rated you 1 through 100. And then it didn't matter if you won the match or not. They gave you your rating, and that decided if you advanced into the tournament. So every match you Chavo Guerrero Sr., all the Guerreros were there like as agents helping, but they would say, who's who, because they didn't know a lot of guys, but you just had to advance through the tournament. We showed up Sunday morning, and it went from a beautiful 80-degree day to pouring rain and about 38 degrees. And the ring was outside. They moved the ring underneath a covered place, but it was still outside.
Oh.
It was freezing.
Texas.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, if you don't like the weather, just wait, because it's bipolar. It's going to change. But and we just kept going. And I didn't enter the tournament, which is kind of strange. I'm old school, and there was an entry fee, and I kept telling Johnny, I don't pay to wrestle. That's just not the way I was brought into the business. And he called me about a week or two out before it started. And he said, well, and actually, you'll know him, Dave. He's from Louisiana, but Cedric Crane had planned on wrestling and had a shoulder injury. Said Cedric of Hollywood,
yes.
Big chiseled, just monster, beast in the ring. But he had had an injury and had to drop out. And he had a sponsor that was paying for it. He said, if you want that sponsor.
Aww.
And I went, well, Johnny, I think I'm booked. I think I wrestle for Killer Tim Brooks that weekend. I think he's got a show. And he goes, no, Killers is the next weekend. And I went, okay, I guess I'm in. And I remember getting, as it advanced, I got to the quarterfinals, and I remember thinking, and again, you would huddle up. I was totally unprepared. Didn't know it was going to be almost snowing. I had a blanket in the back of my car that had dog hair all over it, and I had a hoodie, and I would sit there and just shake, pouring rain, and they would go, okay, you're up. And I would like put my hand out, take my jacket off, throw the blanket down, reach my hand in the rain and like wait to get myself going, go take the match. And then you couldn't get out of there fast enough because you were freezing. And it came down. I remember thinking, quarterfinals. I can't lose at this point. I'm done more than that diver. I wasn't even entering the tournament. I want to say I was drawing. Man, and see that's how people get feelings hurt. The guy who runs Harley Race's school, he wrestles as Race. But it was Harley's. He was wrestling as Harley's son, and I were in the quarterfinals, and it came down to Cahagas and I. And because it's a scoring thing, the finalist, we had a colored anklet, like just a piece of, like you would, like you'd go into a whatever, and they clip it on. So we had a color, red or blue or whatever, and the judges were rating it as the match was going. We were told 15 minutes, both of you come up with a finish. We will signal the ref who's winning. And then you hit your finish. And Cahagas, thank you. There you go. Leland Race. Yep, that's it. We went, couldn't tell you. I know we were killing each other because he'd spent the whole weekend making guys look great. He's super talented. We don't get along great, but he's super talented. You know, I mean, it's just why it's wrestling. Personality clashes, sometimes. But we were beating the crap out of each other. And it was not trying to make the other guy look better. It was, I'm taking over. And then the other guy would reverse it and take over. And I remember I was at a point where I was like, I don't even care anymore. Just get me out of the ring. Cold. I'm dying. We're killing each other. And what I found out later was everybody scored us 50s. Everybody gave us perfect scores all the way through, and they didn't have a winner because we were all getting perfect scores. And part of that, I think, was a fear that they were worried about a Texas guy winning because they didn't want to make it look biased because it was a Texas tournament. Right. And they went to the representative for NOAA, who was there from Japan, and they went to Harley, and because Harley was there, and I ended up getting the nod. In their opinion, and really that kind of kickstarted what becomes my, yep, there we go. That's what kind of kicks the, well, there's the hair, at least I'd shave the mustache, but it kind of kickstarted what I would say was my good run at 40, whatever years old I was, 46, 47, whatever. And I got, right when that picture was taken, Harley pulled me off to the side and he gave me the speech. Hey, this is, because at the time the NWA wasn't doing so great. He goes, this is the world championship now. And here are your choices. When you go out, you are representing everybody that was here. Mm-hmm. You're representing me. He just went through the list and he goes, you have two choices. You either win, or if you drop, you're winning it back the next week if you can make enough money. He said, other than that, he said, you are our world champion now. I was completely unprepared for Harley Race too. That you talk about motivate me. I would have run through a brick wall at that point. Anyways,
I didn't know what I was expecting when I asked that question, but it wasn't that. That's incredible.
Yeah. With me, there are no short answers. I'm sure you've noticed.
No, that's fine. Because
we have a question from the chat. Is that all right if we ask that, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Michael Gallagher, our buddy from Idaho, he says, Mr. Storm, what is the best part of studio wrestling, and who is what is the hardest hitting match you've had?
Studio wrestling, I guess the best part about that is the, and I don't know if intimacy is the right word, but the crowd, especially when we first started the NWA Power, when we started that in Atlanta, the crowd was part of the show. I mean, that's not how it was designed. Mm-hmm. It became very much, we knew them, they knew us, they were loud, they got behind the faces, they knew who they didn't like, and there were people that would show up dressed as something. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. So my favorite part of studio wrestling is just the intimacy. It's a different thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I think if you ask me, would I rather wrestle, you know, intimate setting with 150 people or in a stadium with 20,000, I think I would take the 20,000 just because it's a different feeling. But man, it was when COVID shut us down, it was up to that point, it was amazing. Studio wrestling, it just incredible. I walked into that arena the very first time. And again, you know, Amy, you said you kind of grew up with this, but it was Memphis. It was Atlanta, you know,
Tony Schiavone, David Crockett. It's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. You walked in there and the flags were hanging down and I thought, okay, I'm just going to chill and be cool, you know, because I'm sure it's not affecting everybody like this. Everybody that walked in the building, I'm scared to drop names because I don't want to out them on, but everybody was like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. This has such a feel to it. Second part of that question, man, hardest hitting is tough to answer because Dave, you can tell me if I'm wrong. APOC and I have a reputation of working pretty snug. Mm-hmm. We don't think we do, by the way. And that's a legitimate, I'm like, we are not stiff. And everybody's like, oh yeah, you are. James always says, no, you're just, your head is too hard for you to know that they're. So I've been in some really, really hard hitting matches. The matches that Jax Dane and I had leading for the year leading up to winning that, it took us a while to learn not to kill each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm sure that he was, and he is, that I'm going to talk about is Rob Conway. We went up to Cauliflower Alley, you know, the big meeting in Las Vegas, and we were working the show. And I don't know if any of you ever been to the show. I'm going to say, okay.
I've always wanted to go to Cauliflower Alley. I haven't been able to get out there for it.
I recommend everybody should go on a regular basis. Say now, again, not to be a hypocrite, I don't go as much. I mean, I went out there it's old school. If I book to wrestle, I'll go. And I was booked 3 years in a row.
I'm a member and I haven't made it out there.
Me too. Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't been. I'm a member. I haven't made it back out there. But maybe the first year, Jax, I think it was to unify. I think he had the national title and I think I had the North American title. And Jax and I are both big boys and we'd worked a bunch. And the quality of all the matches out there is not necessarily top quality. That's the nicest way I know to say it. There are some really good matches, but across the board. And Rob came out there and he goes, if you guys will go out there and work snug like you usually do, the crowd is going to be in awe because that's not what they're seeing. And that's like waving meat in front of two starving parents. We looked at each other and just went, okay. And I still have scars on my chest from chops. And he wasn't trying to bust me open, but they're there. They'll never go away. I made this. It's almost embarrassing because, I mean, I cut one of the best promos I've ever cut going into the pay-per-view match with Jax. And I called him out and I wanted Godzilla. And because of the injury, I think the match lasted a minute before they called it because I couldn't continue. Yeah, there's Jax and they're doing commentary. But the best I could do the next night on pay-per-view was, yeah, well, that didn't work out like I planned. You know, but it's, again, you know, it's, that's just part of the match. But I've never kicked somebody as hard as I could in the face before. And it came right after Jack's split my chest open with one chop, you know, and it, so we, that's probably that series of matches. And it took us a while to learn, you know what, we can probably get the same results and not kill each other. You know, so I've been in a lot of hard hitting matches, but that's gotta be one. That's gotta be at the top somewhere.
Did you wrestle Vordell?
Dozens of times.
I think I refereed you in Vordell once. Of course, every time I've refereed for Vordell, I felt like bombs were being thrown, especially with him and Rodney.
Well, it's there are certain guys that you know going into it, and this maybe it's just me, but like Vordell, Ray Rowe, whatever his gimmick is in WWE now.
He's Viking, one of the Viking Raiders.
I don't remember what they're called. There's a big list, but
the less hairy one.
Yes, yes. Shane Taylor. There are certain guys that Jacks that you know. Trevor Murdoch, you know, going into the ring. For me, if I don't turn if I don't turn the crank and get geared up, I'm going to get run over. Mm-hmm. So Vordell's one of those guys that if I'm not ready to go, I'm gonna get beat up pretty good. So that means I have to bring it just as hard. And I'm blessed with some natural size. I'm bigger than most of those guys. Doesn't mean I'm stronger. Vordell's one of the strongest. Vordell and Ray are two of the strongest guys I've ever been in the ring with, and they're not anywhere near bigger than I am. Mm-hmm. I can't even say, it's not a bad word, but it's politically incorrect currently, but they have unnatural, so I won't say it, but they have unnatural strength. And I mean, it's like, it's just what they're born with. So maybe it is natural, but it's unbelievable how strong those guys are. I tried to stop Vordell from giving me a belly to back suplex on a stage during a Falls Count Anywhere match. I'm already a sandbagger because I don't like him. Everything I could do to stop him, and I couldn't stop him.
I was going to ask you, you were speaking earlier about the studio wrestling and how it felt old school. Mm-hmm. You also had one of those guys that was there back in the day on the show with you, and that's, of course, Jim Cornette. Yeah. Did you have a positive experience working with Jim? And
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's funny. I think maybe it's my age or maybe it's my size or my look or attitude. I don't know. But for some reason, old school guys, they just let me in pretty quick. And they think they know me. And I don't mean that negatively. It's like, you know, I grew up watching Dusty and Magnum, you know, and Magnum was at NWA 70 5 years ago. And he goes, you know, been a long time since I've seen you. I mean, he's a legend, but those guys, I guess it's like I said, they just think I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. Cornette was one of those, you know, and Cornette's called my matches. And even when he has for me at least, a lot of people don't like him. I get it. He's very opinionated. I don't agree with all his opinions, but I don't care because that's not what I'm listening for, right?
I mean, the bottom line is he loves professional wrestling, mm-hmm. as yep. it was.
He is passionate. Like, I'm passionate about wrestling. I can't fault a guy for that or a girl for that. You know what I'm saying? But he's – every interaction I've had with him, even if he gave me some feedback, something I could do better, has been incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean – I wrestled Jax in – no, I didn't. I wrestled Moose in a casino in Mississippi, and Jax did a run-in at the end, and I cut a promo, and Corny met me at the curtain when I came through and said two things, never – and he told me what, you know, and just like – he did it in two sentences, and I was like, wow, that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Of course it's right. It's Jim Cornette. He's been doing this for 100 years. You know what I'm saying? So even when he's given me input that wasn't necessarily because I did something great, it's always been very – the way he presents it, yes, sir, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I've never done that again.
Well, right.
The wrestling business has changed so much, and I don't mean this as an insult to anybody currently working when I say this, But Tim, you could take you and put you on any show in the 80s and you belong there. I mean, you look like you look at you could hold your own against any of those guys. So I could see how the guys that live that life would think they know you because you look like you could have been at 605 on the Superstation. Or you could have been in the ring with Terry Gordy and would have been very believable.
Yeah, well, I got the pleasure of wrestling him late in his career. You know, he wasn't the same Terry Gordy. It was after the wreck. And I mean, but, you know, whatever happened. But when I had the world title and we were building up for Nick and I, matter of fact, it was the first interaction Nick and I had. I got dressed and I was in the back and I was, again, I think I wanted it 53 or 54 and I held it for about a year and a half. So I've got the title, so I'm maybe 56. And one of the guys came up to me, I was getting dressed and kind of stretching. And he goes, if everybody your age in the 80s and 90s, if everybody's like you, none of us belonged in the business. He said, I couldn't exist. And I, to what you're saying, Dave, it's, there are a lot of people who, obviously the wrestling's changed, right? Obviously, but it is a more of a athletic, I don't want to say acrobatic because that's to me, that's not a good word, but it's very athletic and it's very high flying and exciting wrestling. Again, it's, I think Dr. Tom told me one time, he goes, you know, it's like ice cream. I'm going to tell you what my favorite flavor is. So I'm going to tell you how I would do it. Doesn't mean it's the only way or the right way. I mean, you know, there's wrestling out there. You can find any style you want. And I think there's a place, absolutely a place for those guys. But in the 80s and 90s, you might have had one match on the card that did one tenth of what the, you know, guys are doing in every match now. It's just a different world. It's like flavors of ice cream. Nothing wrong with it if that's your flavor. It's not my flavor, maybe because I can't do it. You know, I can't do any of that stuff. So anyway, yeah, I agree with you, man. It's
well, I've got one more thing I want to ask you about, and I saved it for last. talk to us about winning the NWA World Heavyweight title. Now, I know, I mean, me and you are the same age, so I don't know if it's nostalgic, but the NWA was a huge part of my childhood.
Yeah.
So I get really upset with people when they say that those three letters don't mean what they used to.
Bring it over. Bring it over.
but they still do to me. And yeah. And I was telling them earlier, when we were kids, what was the biggest cupcake snack cake company when we were kids?
Hostess.
Yeah, Hostess.
Yeah.
But in 2011, Hostess went away. Like overnight, they were gone, out of business.
Yep.
And then a man named Evan Metropolis, who brought Pabst Blue Ribbon back, bought the brand out of bankruptcy. And he completely changed the way that was distributed. Mm-hmm. Instead of having route men and putting it in convenience stores, it was going through bulk, being distributed to grocery stores, to your Family Dollars, Dollar Generals, and so supermarkets. It was a completely different business model.
Right.
And in September of this year, that company, they sold that brand for $5.6 billion, billion with a B. I say that to say that the NWA used to be Hostess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was your Hostess cupcakes. And then the way they did business changed. And Billy's doing business differently now. And you look at NWA 70, it's a who's who of talent that you can see on television two or three times a week now.
Yeah.
And so the NWA is graduating from YouTube,
right,
to a network television show. Mm-hmm. And I heard Billy say it himself that it's a place for wrestlers that can leave there and go to bigger places. But there's also wrestlers on their way down that can stop back by and learn a new hold. Mm-hmm. So the NWA, I'm very, very excited for the NWA.
Me too.
And it's a brand that I truly love. And every time I got to put on my referee shirt with the letters on there, I got to referee your North American matches. I didn't get to do one of your world title ones, but I got to do one for Jax.
Yeah.
And in February, I may get to do one for Ethan Carter. So,
okay.
So I'm super excited about the brand. So I say all that to now, I want you to tell me what it meant to you to, because I know when you, I don't even know if you ever imagined when you won the Indy World Championship that you'd be the NWA World Champion.
Oh, no. People have said, was that your goal when you broke into wrestling? And I never, my goal was to have another match. And I mean that literally. It's like I had that one match. I was like, holy crap. I didn't know it was going to be that hard. I got to do better next time. And I just wanted to get better. And then I wanted to get some bookings. And then I wanted better show, you know, quality shows. I never dreamed. I mean, I told you I got Memphis Wrestling. I got NWA. And then I got World Class. And there were people that I loved that I emulate today from all those shows. Because that's what I am now. I'm dedicated. You know what I'm saying? I tried to throw back to those. But the NWA was wrestling to me. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the best. That's the best there was to me. So winning that title, and I remember that night, it was so emotional to me because I will not get emotional because it still means that much to me. But I remember knowing, okay, I won the most prestigious title in the history of wrestling. And it doesn't matter if I hold it for one day or one year. I want a list of wrestlers that to me are a who's who of professional wrestling, that my idols, the people that I watched and then got to meet, and some of them I've gotten to wrestle, but I knew one thing, they can't take my name off that list.
Mm-hmm.
For eternity, no matter what you think about the dips of the valley, you know, the peaks and valleys of the brand, I want a list with Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, you know, Terry Funk, let's go AJ Styles. I mean, it's just, you can't, to me, it doesn't get any better. And I remember me doing an interview and somebody made a comment and said, oh, if New York called, you'd leave and be washing windows for the right amount of money, you know, at Vince's house, if he would pay you that, you know, the right amount of money. And I was like, no, I mean, I'm not going to say money's not an appeal. It is, obviously, but it's, doesn't get any higher than that. And I don't think there's still a championship out there. They're all prestigious, but WWE's titles, they mean something.
Mm-hmm.
You name any promotion, their titles mean something. But this is the one. This is the one that started it all. You could trace every title, every organization back to that.
I think we could all agree that Triple H is probably the most powerful man in wrestling right now.
And go ahead, because I know where you're going. And
the belt that Ric Flair defended is hanging on the wall in his office. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I mean,
well, because just like us, he grew up loving professional wrestling and loving the NWA.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's been peaks, there's been valleys. I've been very fortunate to be a part of some of those. And I think we're on a climb now. You know, Billy believes in what he's doing, and I believe in Billy. I mean, it's my goal. My very first NWA belt that I won was the Robert Langland had Texoma Pro, NWA Texoma Pro. And he had an Oklahoma franchise and he had a Texas franchise, and they were right there on the border. And I won the NWA Oklahoma Heavyweight Championship. And I thought, this has got to be the best thing I've ever done. Mm. And it was an outdoor show in front of, I think, a biker club, you know, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I got to win an NWA belt. And then Robert, James, Bruce Tharp, you know, Jax, you know, who I wrestled 6 or 8 times, and he beat me every time before I got, you know, before I finally beat him, Rob Conway, all those guys had something to do with me winning. And it's still, would I go somewhere for $1 billion? Probably, you know, but there is no, I said it on several promos when I was the world champion. This is my mountaintop. And I told somebody the other day, they said, could anything surpass winning that title that night when you won that title? And I said, yes, winning it again.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there are a lot of cool things that could happen in wrestling. Yeah. For me. Nothing's going to beat that.
I bet. EC3 seems to be a champion who, you know, takes all comers. So if you wanted to get back in the ring, I think he would be down for it.
He's a touring champion. I mean, he's truly a touring champion. He's on OVW. He's got his own, they're bringing the territories back. And his territory is going to, his promotion is going to be the first territory. But I mean, he's a touring champion. Tim was a touring champion. Mm-hmm. Aldis didn't tour that much. Tyrus didn't tour, but you know, and everybody, for what everybody said about Tyrus being champion, he had the NWA belt on in front of millions on a nightly basis and on a Super Bowl commercial. Yeah. And the NWA world title was on a Super Bowl commercial. Yeah. So say what you will.
It's so funny how things happen just in wrestling in general. You know, in the locker rooms for some, they're call it whatever you want to, but you kind of make good friends who then hang out together and you're your own group of guys. And, you know, I am very fortunate to be included, you know, they always say, oh man, you look what you did for, they put me over talking to me, but Trevor Murdoch, Aaron Stevens, EC3, Tyrus, myself, G's, and still praying for you, G's, get well. You know, all these guys, we just kind of bonded, and in a lot of cases, because of Tyrus, we did. You know, Tyrus, he'd get us to, basically, we'd get our own locker room in a lot of places. Because so say what you will about all those guys, EC3 is looks incredible and is a great wrestler. Like you said, Tyrus, a lot of people don't like his political, don't like his affiliations, whatever. He was the most seen wrestler in the world for the entire time he held it. You may not like him, but for what his goal was to bring that title back to prominence. My goal before I won that NWA Oklahoma, which meant nothing to anybody but me probably, anything I can do to bring the NWA back to some prominence, whatever that is, that's what I want to do. And now I never projected I'm going to be doing commentary. You know, I thought I was going to be wrestling, but you just named some great guys who care about the business, who are the minds in that room. Unbelievable. You start talking wrestling with those guys. Tyrus, the psychology of wrestling. I mean, look at what he trained with Dusty. All those guys did. And there's no better learning tree than Dusty. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I rant because I care about those guys and they care about the title. Tyrus has done a ton of things. Nothing in wrestling meant more to him, starting when he won the TV title. He had never won a major title. He grew up watching that title. Everybody's think, oh, he just shows up and wrestles. He cares. Mm-hmm. Again, say what you want about the man. He's passionate about wrestling.
And
I respect that.
And I'll give you a little behind the scenes on Tyrus that I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but when he became the NWA World Television Champion, he bought a new television belt, a high-quality television belt to put on television, because the one they had wasn't all that great. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's how much he cared that I'm going to do this. And he went in his own pocket and got the belt for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love him to death, so he also wanted one that would wrap around his waist, and that helped a lot too.
Yeah. So,
but he also, I know for a fact, bought two different world championships. Mm-hmm. Because he cares. You know, that's again, I respect passion for something that I love. So all those guys are passionate. If somebody could experience sitting in a locker room talking wrestling with the guys that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. and throw Austin Idol in there occasionally because he will come in and I get to sit with Ricky Morton, Austin Idol. I mean, I look around the locker room and they're guys that I grew up idolizing who are now my friends. And I still get to learn from them. I mean, Dr. Tom is an agent.
I love Dr. Tom.
He's phenomenal, but I get to sit and I get to listen and then you go Homicide, who, I mean, is an agent. It's just amazing. I sit there and I don't say a word. I have my notebook and I take notes and I listen and I'm just teach me.
Anyway. I tell everybody all the time, Tim, that one of the best shows that I ever worked, the promoter ran out and nobody got paid. But Akbar was there. Akbar's the only one. Akbar. No, what? No, this was back in Garland, Texas.
Okay. I know exactly. I wasn't there, but I know who you're going to say. Go ahead.
And Akbar's the only one that got paid because he got paid before he showed up. But what I'm saying is that just sitting there listening to Akbar talk all night long, you can't pay for that. I mean, that was.
And that's one of the things that has changed in wrestling. And I know you guys probably get ready. I mean, I know we've done an hour and 10 minutes, but one of the things that guys traveled together, they got in the car and they drove 800 miles and then they wrestled and they drove 500. I mean, you got to sit and you got to instant feedback on your matches. And I've had the opportunity to, like, for a long time, my travel partners, Lance Hoyt was one of them. And you talk about getting instant. I was the champion for Matt Riviera's TCW, Traditional Championship Wrestling. And we would get in the car and I could get instant feedback from a 6'7" monster on, okay, you're the champion. Why'd you do this? Mm-hmm. James Beard booked, refereed. You're going to make me rant. Literally wrote the book of wrestling in Japan. Literally. They asked him to write the American word as they trained guys, they would learn the American word. He literally wrote the book in Japan. He booked at the Sportatorium. Instant feedback. You mentioned Ak. Matt had him manage APOC and I. So we traveled with Ak for 3 or 4 months. And I still quote Ak, especially as I get older. You know, he told me one time, he goes, you know, and I don't want to, boy, I won't do justice, but, you know, Storm, because apparently every wrestler talks that way. But he said, there's only two ways out of this business. You either die or they stop booking you. Because we will do it forever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys don't appreciate is Matt Bourne. I got to travel with Matt for about a year. Yes, had his issues. But I got to sit in the car for over a year and listen to a guy who was on WrestleMania, what, 3? I mean, you can't do that. And the guys today just don't get that opportunity. It's one of the reasons why the business has changed. So it's, you know, I'm sorry I rant, but you brought up Akbar. But there, back up there, that's Akbar. And I didn't realize this, by the way, at the top. You can barely see it. But I didn't realize when he took the picture and I started selling it that he was flipping everybody the bird. I love Ak, respect Ak. I miss him all the time. I mean, it's just, wrestling is so amazing. I just don't want it to go away. It makes me sad. I wrestled this weekend. At some point it's going to end and I'll still be involved in the business, but I can't replace the ring. Just, it doesn't happen. So anyway,
I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. I wouldn't plan on keeping you this long, but I could keep you another hour or so. We could go all night because I enjoy talking to you. I appreciate your time so much, Tim.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. And you know, you saw when we start talking wrestling, it's my passion and there are no short answers with me. So I love the business. You guys love the business too, or you wouldn't be doing this. And I appreciate that. So
thank you so much
for having me.
And if there's anything you ever want to come on, you got something going on, you want to promote, you've got an open invitation. You're welcome here anytime.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys.
It was an honor, Tim. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on.
Love you, Tim.
Love you, guys. Love you too, Dave. Tell your wife I said hello, okay?
She's the producer. She's hearing all this.
Okay. I love her too. So, all right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, how about that, everybody?
I love him.
What's not to love?
Exactly. He's almost like, if you didn't know, like, he's a wrestler and an NWA world champion. Like, he is just like us. Like, just the excitement about wrestling and just, I mean.
Well, let's ride the wave on what he just said. First, I want to shout out the group chat. I'm sorry, y'all. I was giving Tim my undivided attention because, I mean, he had me captivated, y'all. Yeah. T-Weave, Koloff's out there. Allison Faye with a new T-shirt idea that I'm going to do probably tomorrow. Andrew Hermes, Coach Keith, Bobby K, K5, Willie Buck.
Yes. Willie,
we appreciate you so much, Willie. Domino Chris kind of cracked on us, but Amy, but hell, we love Amy too. Michael Gallagher with a great question. Thank y'all for riding with us. And you heard Tim talk about James Beard writing the book in Japan. And that's something we will talk about because next week for our birthday show, we've been doing this a year. Time flies that's when funny. You're having fun. But next week on this show, legendary referee. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Thank you for being here. James Beard's going to be here, y'all. James Yay! Beard refereed at the Sportatorium. James Beard he's done it all. And he's also starring in the Iron Claw movie, so that'll be fun. For our awesome. Birthday show, be with us Thursday, November 2nd. We're going to pivot to Thursday next week. But that's going to be our birthday show. You don't want to miss it.
It's only fitting that we have a referee on the birthday show.
Exactly. And, isn't that crazy to think November's next week?
I know.
I mean, this year is just, I just think it, I guess as I get older, time just flies.
I want to show y'all something because I got it back because we're going to upgrade the leather on it.
Uh-oh.
This belt is what we use, what is used at my granddaughter's softball team.
Yes.
When they do something good, they let them parade around with it, taking pictures. It's real popular with the girls. And if you need a belt, Big Time Belts can hook you up. Big Time Belts made this belt. Big Time Belts made that belt that I'm holding right there. This is a girl's softball belt, and I'm feeling like a badass right now. But what I'm telling you, I wanted to show y'all the belt. Big Time Belts has a sale going on until the end of October. You can get a belt just like that for $230 if you order in October. Go over to Facebook, Big Time Belts, join the group. If you got a dream, like PCW Mid-Carolina there, like the Pennsylvania Grand Champion, promotions all over the country are using Big Time Belts. The Bayou Independent Women's Champion, the AWA Tag Team Champions. Big Time Belts has got you covered. Get a belt for your fantasy football team. I'd rather have a belt. I get to carry that belt for a year for winning my league. I'm all about it. Whatever your needs are, if you could just make a drawing and he can take that and make it artwork, cut out on, he'll take zinc, put it on leather, and say you got a favorite sports team. Your favorite sports team. This guy likes the Las Vegas Golden Knights, bless his heart. But he got his favorite team on a belt. Like I said, through the end of October, $230 will get you 4mm zinc etched belt. You can get it with gold plating for $300, or they can put it on the CNC machine with 24-karat gold plating for $380. These prices are good until October 31st. And I would like to thank Big Time Belts for sponsoring our podcast. Big Time Belts on Facebook. Thanks again.
See what Mark said? There's another idea.
Oh, a belt.
Do that,
raffle.
Mark.
That's pretty cool.
Mark Dodd in our chat says they are thinking about doing a belt raffle. So, yeah, check out Big Time Belts.
Well, like I said, for $230, you can't beat it. I mean, it'd be a bargain at $330. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bargain for five. It's that's the same quality belts that are used on promotions all over the country. Terry Weaver says 250th subscriber should win a belt, but I can't see every subscriber, and that's where the rubs come in. Or I would be, I'd be doing all that, and I don't know that I'd do a belt, but I would do a t-shirt. Because guess who's got merch? Jumpinthepond.com will take you to our merch store. Jumpinthepond.com.
No.
Maybe you want a Talking Wrestling with Pondwater Dave shirt. Maybe you remember that time that Amy got a little uppity and told me to fuck her up, asshole. Amy's got her own shirt. You remember Andrew, when Andrew Hermes was a guest on the show, him and Justin were going at it pretty good. And they come up with their hashtag straight. Not completely straight. We got hats. We got hoodies. We've got fleece blankets. We got baby. No, we got onesies for the baby.
Pond water papa approved.
Yeah. Put Fido in there. It's fixing to get cold. Let your dog represent.
Yeah, I think Owen is going to be rocking a Talking Wrestling t-shirt here pretty soon. So, yeah, check out the shop. That's awesome. We've got merch now. So, we're official. We have merch.
We're big market. We're big time.
That's right. We have a commercial now. We have merch. We're moving on up, everyone.
We are.
Thank you guys so much for being in here. We want to talk. Do we want to talk about our birthday person this week?
We do want to talk about our birthday person. And it's funny because it's his birthday and we got gifts.
Yes, we did.
To celebrate our 200th, our 200th subscriber, we got freeze-dried candy. And let me tell you, I love freeze-dried candy. I'm going to open that box and you could have knocked me over with a feather.
This came from our buddy, of course, Everett Odom, who is turning... I think 12 or 11.
12 years old tomorrow.
12. Okay. Happy birthday, Everett. And I have not tried this yet, but this peach puffs, these are gummy peach rings that have been
freeze
dried. I got to try this. So
those peach ones, if you like peach. Okay. Oh, he's watching. Happy birthday to you.
I'm for it, Everett. That's good.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Everett. Happy birthday to you. Me and Justin and Amy couldn't have been bothered to sing.
Well, no, y'all, I did not want to interrupt. I felt like y'all were like a lounge singer.
I want to try this one, too. Now, this is taffy. It's got all kinds of different taffy flavors.
This right here, the sprees.
Yeah, the tangy tarts. That's what's up.
They are delicious.
But that peach tasted like you were biting into a peach. I mean, an actual peach.
Eat a peach, as the Allman Brothers said.
It's called Crazy Candy Freeze Dive Andersons. I'll go ahead and give them a plug.
Yeah. I mean, that everything. Like you said, they sent us Skittles, taffy, peach rings, the wild berry Skittles, sprees. I mean,
I just got a pina colada taffy, and it was pretty damn good.
But 200 is not... I mean, we've passed 200. We were at 210 when I looked earlier.
Oh,
so we were at 210, but we're not finished. Now we're on our quest for 300. 500 is to infinity and beyond is our goal. 500 is the pinnacle goal that we want right now. But we're not through, and I'm going to take that chop November 11th in Vicksburg, Mississippi, at the City Auditorium. From Angel Camacho, and I'm kind of leery about it because I took five of these across the chin from Angel last show.
And your memorial service will be the 12th.
I'll feel the chop. I was asleep after that. So, but for 300, I'll take a cannonball from Vladimir Koloff. And the cannonball, for y'all, if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, is think when Kevin Owens throws somebody in the corner and he does the rolling into him and punches him in the face with his ass.
So what Dave is saying, he's going to take Koloff's balls on the show here in a few weeks. So tune in.
Speaking of face, what'd you do to your nose?
Well.
Oh, not another work incident.
Well.
Keppy Everett is watching.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, if only. If only. Yeah, I had a.
Was it with yourself? No.
I got attacked. I got attacked by four cases of party sized Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh Lord, you're gonna.
Well, and what happened was, I was wearing my glasses, and the glasses they hit the glasses, and the glasses dug in.
Do you have any kind of like?
Hang on, Terry. London, Terry Angel like... doesn't do a cannonball. Angel does a Vader bomb, which will be. At 500 subscriptions, I would be willing to take.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, I think at this point, it might be better for the company to have you retire early than instead of keep paying this workman's comp that you're going to.
No kidding.
I mean,
just let them buy.
I don't think you understand. I mean, I got a scratch for four cases. Four cases is 24 bags of party size. It's potato chips. I mean... If I would have been wearing glasses, it would have been fine.
Everett, I do want to say, Carla said he's tearing into a bag of that candy as well. Don't eat the whole bag because that'll rot your teeth right out of there, Everett.
And you only live once.
Well, no, it upsets your stomach. I think because they're just so darn good, you just keep eating them and eating them. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh,
my goodness. Well, it don't help us that he sent us five bags.
Yes. So. Aaron. Aaron was very excited. Yes, Aaron was very happy, Everett. He very much appreciates that.
Stephanie got excited, too, and I reminded her that the name on the box was Dave Miller.
Oh,
Everett is a big...
I'm sharing. I'm sharing.
Yeah, actually, I was not the first to get into my bags either over here at my household. I do want to say happy 12th, and you know what? One more year, our boy's going to be a teenager. Can you believe it?
Oh, he's growing up.
Yeah.
bless his heart.
Carla says he's a 60-year-old man in a 12-year-old body. Well, yeah, he gets that from his daddy, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm damn near 60 and a 120-year-old body.
What we got going on next week here, Dave, on the show?
Next week? We're going to welcome in James Beard.
Yay! This is going to be so exciting.
Well, right. Yeah, because Tim gave us things to ask him about that I didn't even have on my radar.
Well, I mean, just the fact that he's in the movie, like to me, like that is like you could have a whole episode about just talking about the Iron Claw movie. But like you said, we have all these other little tidbits that we're going to get to talk to him about.
The only thing I hate about it is I wish we could see the movie before we had him on so we could actually, it's okay. It's like the Titanic. We know the end.
Well, he's playing himself. I believe he's playing himself in the movie.
Yeah.
So, but the, when we invited him to come on, we didn't even realize he was in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we got to mention it, which I'd love to, but I'm also excited because, I mean, I always enjoy being around referees that are better than me.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to come out. I'll come out of next week's episode and learn something. I love being on shows with him. The only bad thing about is when he comes to a show is that he gets to referee Tim and I don't. But I don't blame him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him. And he definitely, you know, he makes every show that he's part of better. I kept trying to watch him through the curtain at the last Arkansas show, but I couldn't see. Everybody was blocking every little place that you could have peeked through. And then when I did finally get to look through, I think Angel asked me a question about one of the wrestlers. And I said, Angel, I was watching referee.
Yeah. So definitely join us next week. It's our big 1-year anniversary of Talking Wrestling with Pondwater Dave. We're excited for that. It's been a fun year. It's flew by, I feel like. The show has changed a little bit over the year. We were just kind of trying to figure out, you know, what we wanted to do and what you guys liked. And I think that our set up now where we have these guys and we're help promoting independent wrestling. And I, you know, I think it's really cool.
And I wrote down Tommy Hilliard's name. Willie Buck suggested that we get Tommy Hilliard on, and we'll look at that at the first of the year. The plan for December is I'm going to try to get do as much Iron Claw content as we possibly can achieve.
So because we already have November booked with awesome guests,
and we will still talk from time to time about current wrestling news when things pops up, of course. So we will still be bringing you that stuff. But today it was just such a fun. We wanted to get as much in with Tim Storm as we could, for sure. And he was a great guest.
Did y'all see any wrestling this week that just really stuck out to you as being next level?
No.
Oh, I no.
Terrible. I mean, that was terrible of me.
Did you hear Jay Lethal's promo?
No.
Jay Lethal's promo after Jeff Jarrett's Memphis Street Fight with...
Is that last week, right?
Yes.
Okay. No.
Well, no, it was Saturday night.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's what I meant.
Go out of your way.
Last time.
Actually, Jay Lethal cut two very good promos last week, because there was one when they were coming working up to the match with Eddie, because the stipulation was if Jeff beat Eddie Kingston in the street fight, that Jay Lethal would get a Ring of Honor world title shot. And that Jay Lethal needs to be on the microphone all the time. That's how good his promo was. I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped at this point for Jay Lethal and Eddie Kingston. And, awesome. and it's because of the tremendous mic work done by Jay Lethal.
I think he's always been a good talker. Like you said, we just never get to hear it.
And I'm also loving the Nick Aldis, Adam Pearce crossover.
I have watched some of that. Yeah.
And it's tremendous. Like Adam Pearce got, I mean, Aldis had Uso and Pearce escorted from the building Friday night. And I like where it's going. And then he showed up on Monday Night Raw. You know, hey, that was on me. I was just trying to, you know, and then Adam Pearce says water under the bridge. And you know it's not water under the bridge. Mm-hmm. So told him to stick around and watch how the flagship runs. I'm not going to kick you out. I'm going to let you. I mean, and hey, those are two former NWA World Heavyweight Champions.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them.
I mean, Nick Aldis can be on my screen anytime he wants. Just saying. I do not mind. He is so, I mean.
Hey, his tie game is extremely strong.
His suit game completely is just.
Amy can have Nick Aldis, and I will take Jey Uso, and we'll be happily ever after. It'll be fine.
Okay. Deal. Deal.
Well, I am.
And I'm not taking anybody. I don't need another skin, any more skin knocked off my nose.
You know what, though? Just to say real quickly, OVW had their pay-per-view over the weekend, and I forgot the name of it, bless. But it was good. I mean, they're selling out. I mean, you know, that wrestler show has definitely helped promoted that in that area. But they put on really good shows. I mean, even what Mr. Tim Storm was talking about, the studio show, it's not necessarily a studio show. But when I went up there, I mean, you're right there. You know, I mean, like it's. Some of the people that were in the documentary that is a year old at this point were there Thursday night. I recognized them. So, again, having that same audience, the ones that are participating, I mean,
it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, y'all.
It is.
I want to have a beer with that old lady that goes to all the shows.
She was there.
I guarantee it.
She was there. You know what? And, this is a little bit of a sad news, I guess, in wrestling I think it is. But I think it's a great opportunity. But Brock Anderson is no longer with AEW.
I think it's the best thing. Other than financially, I think it's the best thing in the world probably could have happened to him.
Well, I want him to go to OVW. Like, that's what I told him twice.
Funny you say that, because we were talking I was talking to Mike Page and Russ Miller last night. And they said, hey, where do you think Brock lands up? And I said he'd be perfect fit in the NWA, but OVW would do him a world of good.
Yes. And then, I mean, I tried to tell him, like, hey, Kentucky, it's a nice state. It'd be, you know, yeah.
Our buddy Terry Weaver is correct.
And hey, I don't, and I'm not advocating that Brock should not be with AEW. I'm just saying,
yeah,
I think for where he's positioned in AEW, I think if he gets the opportunity to go to an NWA, to an OVW, to an MLW, to TNA, TNA's back, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? His dad, my bestie, Arn, he always says, reps, like that's right. What you
and
need.
That's what I'm talking about is
yes, and those are the things yeah. that, and again, I'm being very selfish because I would love to be like every Thursday night I see Brock, maybe live, maybe you know, maybe you on heard TV.
You heard Tim talking about all the producers that, mm-hmm. that are behind the scenes in NWA. You can't. So,
I mean, NWA it's just, comes to Nashville, right? So I could do both. I still think OVW, I think that would be really fun to see him there with those different personalities on a weekly show. I really think he could do some great things there. And it'd be good for him, too. I'm sorry.
And did you see who was on Collision the other night? Hollywood.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. She was, you know, it's funny. You heard she was going to get a look at NXT, and then she was on, I think it was Collision.
Uh-huh. Yes, you are right. Yes.
Hollywood, Haley J.
That's right. He is my bestie, Terry Weaver. So you just need to stop.
I love that Hollywood gimmick. She should just come out stroking a belt, Hollywood.
she's impressive personality.
Speaking of Hollywood and Hollywood, Terry Weaver said old ladies are the best wrestling fans for decades. And he's right. And I'll never forget when Hogan on Nitro got into it with that old lady in the front row. That was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Exactly. That is
go back to Small World Class. There's an old man sitting on the front row. And sometimes he just wears one of those old one-piece jumpers that old people used to wear. and they got it. They had him, and he yelled so much. And one night they had him, and they had the camera on him, and he was yelling, and his teeth popped out.
My grandpa delivered gas, and not car gas, like gas for your home.
Yeah.
And he wore one of those dark blue just jumper things. That just
Granddad Miller had one, and he had me one. He had me one tailored up when I was a little kid that I could wear with, so I'd have one just like him.
Yeah. Aww, that's so cute.
And the sad part about the mention on that old man, he died at the wrestling matches.
I remember you saying that. I do remember you telling
us. He died at the wrestling matches, and I don't think that's a sad story because that's probably how he wanted to go.
Probably.
Old man, take a look at my life. Yes. Well, we're to the point where I'm singing. Are we ready to go home? What else do we have to cover?
I think we've said it all. Right. What a great episode. What a great episode, y'all.
And make sure you join us for our birthday bash Absolutely. Next week.
I'm going to be in my birthday suit, so definitely join us next week. It'll be a blast.
Not completely straight. No,
I'm not completely lying either. Wait till you see my outfit next week.
Well... It's All funny right. when I got that custom referee shirt, and I don't wear it anymore. But if I knew that James was going to be on the card, I just took regular plain stripes. I wouldn't wear it if he was there.
Remember, right. our guest. No.
Hey, I'll tell you a funny story All about. I've got an NWA world belt, and it's autographed by a bunch of them. we knew Tim was going to be on the show, so. I got Stephanie take the belt to him so I didn't look like Mark. Get Tim to sign this for me so I don't look like a Mark.
You got Stephanie to do all your Mark work. I like how that is. I see.
Hey, we're a team. we're a team.
All right. Well, for the First Lady, the Arn Anderson Fan Club, Miss Amy Vaughn, for the head Mark himself, Mr. Palmwater, Dave Miller, I am Justin Davis saying take care of yourself and each other. So long, everyone.
Good night, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to my party. We're just getting started. A life is a dream or a nightmare scarring. Hand me a drink 'cause I think
my scars. Flip the handlebars, crashing in my car. Wake up in a bar, I'll be a superstar.